cliffcentral.com.
Oinkosi. Good morning, everybody. You are here with us live on a Tuesday morning. Sia Sangweni and Mbulelo Tinta and me. We go see Gareth Cliff. Yes, that's right. Oh, yes, I love
that
it.
That is a gem.
That's beautiful. That's. Let me tell you something. That was the great Soweto Gospel Choir. Before they won Grammys and everything else, I got them into the studio and they did that and a bunch of other stuff for me. They're a tremendous, tremendous heap of talent, piled upon brilliance, piled upon genius.
Oh, yeah.
Piled upon raw, natural vocal ability like very few people on earth actually have. Now, a lot of people think that they're singers. I had to put up with these morons who think that they could sing the whole way through Idols for how many years. And let me tell you, there isn't one person in that Soweto Gospel Choir who can't outsing any of the people who were ever on Idols.
Oh, damn.
That's why they win Grammys and Oscars and I think they've even got an Emmy. They've got all three, I think.
That song, Phone Calls, and Thabo Modisani, executive producer.
Right.
Just any random day.
Right.
Can find myself humming it.
Yeah. That was good stuff. I'm sure I've got
some
that somewhere.
Once they called you the king, then they started winning all their prizes.
I know.
That's what the evidence believe. So
that's it.
That is what it is. People don't have to like it.
Wow.
So, Mbulelo, how are you? We haven't spoken to you in a little while. You've got lots on your mind. You've got plenty going on. What's going on, dude?
Hey, I couldn't be better. I had a great weekend. I'm feeling, honestly, I'm feeling better than I've ever felt. I'm feeling fit, fit as a fiddle.
Are you doing that? Aren't you doing that Otter Trail?
Well, I'm an MC and kind of will be commentating at the event, and I mean that's an unbelievable.
Oh, I thought you were running it.
Oh no, too short. I've got a big ego. You know, you got to do the 100K, 100 mile stuff. So it's
what are you, a moron? Distance. What's wrong with you?
Surely we've established by now. I've been here for a year.
For us who aren't in the fitness running world, what is the Otter Trail? What happens? Where is it?
It's a trail somewhere called Storms River, somewhere between George and like PE. It's a little slice of heaven there.
It's between Plett and PE. It's beautiful, but what a stupid thing to do to run there. I mean, it's just magnificent to look at.
Oh my God, yeah. And protected, really. One of the most protected pieces of land in the world.
Well, you can't build there. It's too sheer.
And really what they've done is they've got two or three sort of villages in there.
Mm-hmm.
And now whatever's built there is going to be forever. So you can't add stuff there. So if you want to retire and have a good life, you want to do it in Storms River. And I cannot wait. And it's always great to be around elite athletes.
Is that where you want to be when you're old?
No, probably. I need mountains. So probably Lesotho, Switzerland. I'd probably retire somewhere like that. I hope I have enough money to retire in Switzerland. But probably the sort of this thing.
How long is the run?
So it's 40 kilometers, but over mountains. I mean, it's over like a big mountain.
I think my sister-in-law is doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell her. I'll be the man bringing her in on the line. So if she wants to, I'll give her a big. What's her surname?
It's Cliff. Obviously. Oh. Yeah. She's married to my brother.
I don't know.
So rocket science Mbulelo is obviously on duty.
No, not obviously. She could keep her maiden name. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. She might even be right. Yeah.
She could have combined her name. Sorry to sidetrack. I have a friend, so my age, 25, who got married. Nah, not a friend. I went to high school with him. let's just be clear. No, he's not a friend. I went to high school with him, and I just still have him on social media. Mm-hmm. So have you noticed this new crop of these millennial cool couples who just get married and they recreate their own names or new identity? So it's either, I've seen a few people who just randomly create a surname, but these two in particular, the woman didn't take his surname. So rather they now have a double barrel surname of the two of them. I thought,
Yeah.
My sister's doing that.
I think that's good if you if there aren't any men in your family to carry on your surname, you know, then you keep it alive that way. But otherwise, it's not conventional, and for something like that, I feel it. You know, there are still conventions that we use for a particular purpose. Anyway, not important. It's not important enough. Like, I'm not going to argue with someone at a dinner party about it. I'm not going to say, oh, you shouldn't be taking that. Or I think you could do whatever you want.
Okay,
but
sorry, I interrupted.
I like this the tradition of you know, the man gets to carry his surname on.
Yeah,
but you do your thing. So anyway, my sister might be at this. My sister-in-law might be at this otter trail of Bulelos. But I was thinking about something over the course of last night. I had this weird dream about some of the people I haven't seen in years since school. And it kind of links to what Bulela was saying just now about how he's feeling better than ever and he's fit and healthy. You know, there's this one friend of mine, and she was really beautiful at school. She was absolutely gorgeous, and I saw a picture of her about 2 weeks ago. And she looks like a crone. And I feel so sad about that. I suddenly thought, you know, I hope in heaven, wherever that is, one day that she can be the hot version of herself that she was when she was 19 or 20. Because if she is in heaven and she looks like the crone that she has become, it would be a great travesty of justice. And I sometimes wonder, you know, it bothers me that people get older. Because people can be so, I'm not saying you're always more beautiful in your 20s. Some people really mature much later on. Some people become the best version physically of themselves in their 30s or their 40s. I don't think it happens beyond that. But, you know, you could be, you kind of fit into your body better. I know this is true for me anyway. I feel much more comfortable in my skin than I did in my 20s and even in my early 30s. But for some people, that happens in their 20s. And I feel bad and I feel sad and it actually depresses me on some level.
I do not.
Yeah, because beauty,
the body you deserve.
Yeah, but Bulelo, beauty fading is one of the saddest things you get to witness in life. Because I love someone who's just aesthetically beautiful, you know? I know it's shallow, I know it's pathetic, we had and you'll see her on the show on Wednesday on So What Now. And please watch this fucking show. I mean, management are on my case about ratings. And, you know, we've got a lot of people watching online, but we don't have any people watching on TV. And so they measure me by the TV rating. So if you don't watch it, then they're gonna can the show at some point, and then I'm really going to be grumpy. So if you can, you know, it'll take like, just watch the first 10 minutes. Do me a favor. Watch the last 10 minutes of this show that's coming up.
Gareth, you're punting it wrong. Watch the whole thing.
Okay, watch the whole thing. I mean, we've got Jonathan Witt, we've got Debbie Droke, who we've had on the show before, and the two of them are going to argue about Trump and Biden, which will be really funny. But we have Sasha Lee Daniels, or Sasha Lee Olifir, sorry.
Olifir, yes.
And Sasha Lee Olifir is the outgoing Miss South Africa, and she's picked up all this shit about like being overweight and having a fuller figure and all the rest. And we could talk about that later on, but I thought she was charming and she's a lovely girl. She came onto the show and we talked a little bit about, you know, objective standards of beauty. But as much as I'm one of those people who thinks beauty pageants are dumb, I really do. I like the idea that we can celebrate beauty. And it saddens me. Sia, you haven't got to the stage of your life yet where you've seen people who you thought were beautiful getting ugly. It's fucking sad, man.
No, not around me.
I saw an interview the other day with, who was it? Some famous Hollywood actor. And I thought, oof, not looking good. I can't remember who it was. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, dude, I mean this is going to happen to all of us. This is the sad realization. But I'm not as upset about, because you see with yourself, you kind of witness yourself every day and you don't see it as dramatically. So, you know, if you haven't seen Robert De Niro since Taxi Driver, and then you suddenly see him now, and you think, oh, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But Robert De Niro is a bad example because I don't know that he was ever really good looking to me. I mean, I've always known him as an older man. But there are better examples maybe. And when you see it, it's so depressing. I know that this, for many people, this is dumb because they probably have a little more depth than I do when it comes to this stuff. Jesus, I'm superficial, but when I see beauty fading, it makes me so sad. It's probably the only thing that genuinely gives me a feeling of what depressed people go through when they're depressed. It's something so deeply disturbing and irreversible and like you lose something. You can never get that back. I'm sad for the people who I found gorgeous that I can't find gorgeous anymore because they've just become old and hideous.
But what really bothers you about it is the fact that
it's gone. That it's gone. It's gone forever. And I just love I'm one of those people who's very attuned to aesthetics. That's probably why I find myself so unattractive. Is because it's because I look for perfection. I mean, you know, in paintings, in sculpture, in poetry, and in photography, frankly. And when I see it goes away, it just really bothers me.
It serves a purpose. This is not new. You know, you look at the why sculptures. You even look at Socrates as he is depicted today. Mm. Even back then. Aesthetics is a whole field of studies in the field of philosophy. So aesthetics are crucial to the human condition. And having statues, that there's a reason. Not everybody had a six-pack back then. Socrates didn't look like he looked.
No.
But you want to depict people at their apex. And that does serve, it serves a complete purpose. And it is not shallow. I'm sorry. It is not.
No. I feel better about that part of me, but it still saddens me to see people deteriorate.
Hey, speaking of that, I was walking in the shops the other day. I mean, I grew up in Joburg, and I walked past a girl who was just the it from, like, we knew when we came back on school holidays between 15 and 18. She was the it, and I walked past her, and I thought, that cannot be her. That can't. Like, she, oh, my God.
There was this other girl who I haven't seen in years, but she was, like, the she was the hottest girl at school, and oh man, I think she's got like 3 kids now, and she's
that's gonna get you.
I mean, I know this is very politically incorrect to say these things because a lot of people get very upset and they're like, you could be beautiful if you've had 3 kids, but 3 kids will take its toll on you. I mean, and she I also think she's been divorced like once, maybe even twice, which happens to beautiful people as well, you know. I don't know what she's doing for a living, but she was always smart as well. So she's no doubt got. Oh, do you know who it was?
The Hollywood actor?
Yeah. Do you remember Elizabeth Shue? Elizabeth Shue. So I saw her in The Boys, that show that Gord made me watch, and she looks great in that show. But man, she was she's a stunning girl, and even now she looks good. So.
Karate Kid, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Oh. Battle of the Sexes. Oh. Adventures in Babysitting.
what you're saying is so close to my heart. I've always worried for people who've based their identity off their looks, because that's going to fade. So I've always thought, oh, thank goodness I was born mediocre to just below that.
I'm never going to fall off a cliff. That's a good way to look at it, but I would rather be. I've always had this fantasy, and I dream about this, that I would just be so fucking good looking, you know. I would swap my brain to look really good.
Oh, hey!
Any day of the week, but I mean, so good looking. Like, I want to be so fucking good looking that you walk into a room. Like, I had this girlfriend who, she could walk into a room, and every person in the room would turn around and look at her, and it was just, I mean, it was something to witness, man. I was just happy to be there to see it happen, because that kind of beauty is just extraordinary. People react to it viscerally. They don't have to think about it, you know. They don't go, wow, she's pretty. They just turn around, and you could see it in their face. They just go, ha. Oh. Some of them have to take a breath. I'm talking men, women. Now, I would give to be like her. I would have given. I'd have a frontal lobotomy. I'd be drooling at the dinner table. But if I looked, but if I looked like that, fuck.
But so I'm slightly different to you guys. I'm not bothered by beauty or holding on to beauty, because nothing in nature lasts forever. Do you know what I would really, really trade for beauty?
What?
Rather being like Sommer, ageless.
Yeah. So, okay. Ruth
like
says.
Like Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. He looks good. He looks good.
He's on a cover of something this month or last month. I think it's like a Men's Health or a GQ or something. And he has his shirt off. And really, I'm like,
how old is Lenny Kravitz now?
I will look that up.
But he was a
this guy.
He was like a sex bomb. I mean, during his peak, wasn't he banging Nicole Kidman as well? I mean, I never thought that Nicole Kidman was hot. She was always that milky kind of, you know, that very pale. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about that very milky kind of white rat look that some blonde girls get, and some blonde guys have too. That doesn't do anything for me. Anyway, Nicole Kidman was banging his brains out at one point, and Lenny Kravitz really was. I mean, you remember those songs of his? I think we're going to play one just now. I love
him. He's a winner.
Lenny Kravitz is great.
56
yeah.
years old.
56, good for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's listen, I mean, 56. You know, who is it that, there's so many of these older actresses that I do find very attractive, even though they've got older. But what I'm talking about is, when someone is at their peak very young, and then they deteriorate. So Ruth says, Gareth, nobody is genetically lucky as you and I. You haven't aged since you were 18. Well, I don't know that that's true. I think that's kind. But I do think genes play a part in this, right?
Definitely.
I like that Ruth threw herself in there as well.
No, she just threw herself in. So
humble
Ruth,
brag, yeah.
No.
Just
like I
Hotso,
hear what you're
says,
about.
Says people change, and that's true. So I know, and sometimes they improve, you know, even if they physically deteriorate, they improve in wisdom and confidence and all of that stuff. So I get that, but as I said just now, it makes me a little superficial, and Bulilo assuaged that somewhat by saying no, it is important.
But for sure, you know what's the really sad part as well is I'm very close to someone in particular who, she is a an absolute bomb.
Yeah.
But she's always gotten away with her looks and forgot. And I've always liked this edgy side of her. But after about 27, 28, there's more 23-year-olds. So you start to be the old. She forgot to be a nice person. And that's, that whole thing of realizing.
She forgot to be a nice person. That's a big deal. Yeah.
She forgot that part of things, because whenever she walks in a room, even now, she still looks like 1% of the world. But she forgot that whole part. And then she hit a bit of an existential crisis about a year ago where nobody can connect with her because her looks aren't enough to, get the boys to pay for things anymore.
Bring
and
the
blah,
boys
blah, blah,
to
blah.
The
and,
yard.
And she's rich and successful and a big-time lawyer. But Yeah, she forgot the whole nice person thing. And it's tough to see when the looks aren't enough anymore to change the environment.
She forgot the nice person thing. That's fantastic. Carol says, the saddest for me is seeing people's personalities getting older and uglier when they age, more so than their bodies. I think that's what she's talking about too. Peter says, I've had to go into the normal audio broadcast, no video. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Peter. We can't have it all.
Yeah.
By the way, you can watch us live. Many people are. And you can also ask to be a part of the conversation. Like physically, you can be part of the show. You can actually be on video if you want to, or on audio. Just press that little speak button if you're watching us live. If you're listening to us live on cliffcentral.com, you can always send us a message on 079-748-2090. It works like any other WhatsApp number. So just put it on your WhatsApp and then you can join in.
So just to finish off on this subject, I've made myself a promise from pretty young, because I've always been like, my mom's a very clear person. I've always been clear where I am in and amongst my friends in terms of the pecking order.
Yeah.
I've always been closer to the bottom. So one thing I promised myself from pretty early on is keep your brain interesting. That's going to be attractive forever.
Yeah.
Like, the physical stuff, you're never going to win. Yeah. I've got good looking friends and I'm cool.
Sure. Carl says, extremely good looks can get you way further in life than a good brain, especially for women.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself unconsciously treating good-looking women better at work and then realizing afterwards and correcting my behavior. Well, at least you realize and correct your behavior. I can't do that. I'm so much nicer to good-looking people. I'm so much nicer to them. I don't even make an effort usually with unattractive people. Which is horrible, because I might be missing out on really good conversations. I might be missing out on all kinds of wisdom and humor, frankly. But what can you do? You know,
I still hold two of my cousins to task for this. We were once home alone, so it's two of my separate cousins, male cousins, and myself, and they invited this girl who was gorgeous to them, but she could only come over if her sister was also coming over as well.
Oh.
And I'm just going to...
And what was the sister?
Call a thing a thing.
Yes, okay.
The sister was chubbier. She was fat.
Uh-huh.
And so both the girls came over, and then they left the sister with me playing board games. And they each had like a chance with the pretty girl in the room, like making out. And I said, like, what was weird and so screwed up about it was like my cousins were tag teaming. The one went in, made out, and then it was like, hey, I'm done. And then the other went in.
But like, but did they bring the fat, ugly stepsister from Cinderella? Did she also get a chance or?
And no!
They just ignored her.
The fat sister was just playing board games with me in the lounge.
Oh, fuck. Poor you.
Holy. Yeah, listen, and Sia, you have just brought up one of my hashtag trigger points in life right now. You've affected my safe space, because there is nobody more bitter than the friend who isn't the one everyone's after.
Yeah.
If you want to get a handbrake, tell the good-looking friend she can bring her less ace.
She's going to get in the way. She's going to get in the way of any advances you make on the pretty girl.
Let's go home.
I've had enough. Yeah.
Brenda, we go.
I don't like him.
I'm not feeling so well. Plus, whatever. He thinks so much of himself.
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know what? If I was in that situation, I would have acted like that. Because how dare you guys? You bring me over here and then both of you are making up with my sister. And I'm just stuck playing with this kid. No.
Some people have to be on the bench. We have to accept this. There's players. There's A team players. There's B team players.
Yeah. If you invite a really beautiful woman and you invite Amy Schumer, Amy Schumer's sitting in the next door room with Sia playing board games. Trust me.
Wow.
Even if she's funny as hell, and she might be.
I don't feel bad saying this, because I've been this to lots of my friends. I have good looking, successful friends, and you know what it is. If you want peace in your life, accept the truth, not as you want it to be.
Yeah.
And I've accepted the truth when I'm around my friends.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Oh my God, what is that thing doing here? Get out of here. We're trying to get
No. But but you and I have come to terms with our place in the world of aesthetics. But I do like being the ugliest person in the room. That means the room is, because then the quality of the people in the room is very good. If I'm if I'm the lowest common denominator, think about it. My eyes looking outward are only seeing perfection.
Now, okay. Now, this is really shallow. I prefer being top tier.
Yeah, of course. So you would invite you'd invite a bunch of monsters and trolls to your birthday, and then you'd be the prettiest. Yeah, I get you.
Well, here's what's open now.
I know your kind. Sia goes around collecting ugly people.
Exactly. Well, Sia, what you don't realize, you've just admitted to everybody who you've told we're besties, is actually you're around because you are not particularly my friends.
Yeah. And no offense to my hometown, I love Durban, but it was like during December last year. Yeah. I remember my friends and I went to this pub, and firstly, it's a pub, so that tells you everything.
Yes.
Just for a drink. And I felt like, Durban people can go out in flip-flops, at a pub and call it a night. But I was dressed well. I had cologne on. I was, ready for a good time. And I scanned the place thinking,
nothing.
I am the treat here.
Like that, huh? You like that?
Unbelievable.
Well, here's something funny. Monwabisi says the grenade is what they call the ugly friend. The grenade.
Somebody has to always stand on the grenade.
Yeah, and Sizi says, somebody has to handle the grenade for the team. That's what you were doing.
Sure.
Khotso says, remember when back in the day, if you wanted to pick up the nice girl, that you would go for the ugly one, and then they would bring the nice girl with. Yeah, but that is such a twisted way of going about things. Because then you lead the ugly one down the garden path, and then she's cross after that.
Oh, yeah.
She's very cross. There's nothing worse than an angry, cross, ugly girl.
What you need is a good-looking gay friend, really, like Usia Sangweni, who will play board games with the other one.
I think he's past that. I think he did that for his cousins. He wouldn't do that for just anybody.
No.
Now he expects people to do it for him. All of his friends are ugly. He hand picks them.
I didn't say my friends are ugly.
Sure. But you prefer,
No. I need to send some messages after this show.
No, I don't mind being. I don't mind being the ugliest person in the room. That's usually that's a good room to be in.
Dumbest person in the room, sure. Ugliest, no, thank you. No.
All right, well, we've got to get to some headlines, believe it or not. We do have a purpose here this morning. We could talk shit all day, or we could try and do something useful as well, and that's what we're going to do now. Opposition parties have spoken to Tito Mboweni and said no to bailouts and more taxes. You know he's postponed the medium-term budget. So I was talking to someone who I really respect yesterday, someone who's very, very sharp and who analyzes the political landscape in South Africa better than almost anybody I've met. He said to me, you've got to realize three things about the ANC. The first one is that they are criminal. And we know this now. I mean, it's patently obvious to anyone who can see. But they're criminal in a kind of Keystone Cops, amateur mafia, not professional mafia. Like, the mafia have their rules and they have a process and they think it through. This is like a disorganized, chaotic kind of mafia where anything could happen, and usually opportunity and circumstance are more to do with anything than any individual's drive. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is that they're really stupid. And I know this is an unpleasant thing for many people to countenance, but the fact is none of these people are really bright. They're not great intellectuals, and they're not great practical thinkers either. They're quite stupid people. They're very basic people. You can see it. Like Becky Taylor, when he gets in front of that microphone, you're dealing with someone who's quite substantially stupider than the average person. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. And then the third thing he said about them, so they're criminal, is that it's a shambles. So they're criminal, they're stupid, and it's a shambles. Like, the ANC hasn't really got any. There's no meat in the bones. It's kind of just. It's like those disorganized parties that you sometimes go to, and I don't mean political parties. I mean party parties where you drink and You know those parties where everything just gets very messy very quickly? People get very drunk. People fall. They break shit. Someone leaves without paying their bill. Someone starts crying. There's a fight. You know those kinds of parties where it's just not fun to be there. You walk in and you go, oh, this is a bad idea, and you want to get out straight away. Those are three things you need to know about the ANC. And if you understand those three things, you will know why, you know, in the municipality, in the western part of the Northern Cape, they've never had water and they've never had electricity. And there's a donga that's been dug that's full of human shit. It's because that's the ANC. And if you can look at it on a micro, then you can understand the macro. Because on the micro, it's they're not that many players and actors that it's confusing. But really, that's what you need to know about the ANC. And that is a masterclass that I should actually be charging money to tell you about. Because if you understand those three things about the ANC, everything else makes sense. They're so incapable of doing what they're there to do that the finance minister has decided to postpone the medium-term budget because he can't get the people in the party to even understand what he's up to. They can't decide how much money that isn't theirs they want to spend. You understand? Imagine being so stupid and so useless that you can't decide how to spend money that you didn't even earn yourself. It's this beggars belief. So opposition parties say they want the finance minister to draw a line in the sand when he delivers the medium-term budget policy statement. They say his priority must be how he's going to bring down ballooning debt and still be able to revive the economy. The biggest elephant in the room will no doubt be whether the finance minister bows to government pressure to save SAA. Now, we know Tito Mboweni doesn't really fit the ANC mold. So all those things that I said just now about the ANC, I think Tito's an outlier. I don't think he's like the rest of them, those hyenas. So who knows? Maybe he can win. Maybe Cyril will grow a pair of balls and stand up for Tito. That would be nice. Let's see. If that happens, then we may have an interesting budget after all. But that's what we've got. That's the latest on the shenanigans of the shambolic, messed up ANC government that we have in South Africa. A bunch of losers.
Amen. Amen. Tell them, Figgy.
Violent protests broke out across Italy on Monday after new restrictions to curb the country's second wave of COVID. Now, this again is a bit of a wake-up call to governments all over the world. If you think that you can impose a second curfew and a second lockdown on people, you need to look very carefully at just how irascible the people of your country are. And South Africans are pretty irascible. So I see yesterday, and we joked about this, I mean, it wasn't funny, but I thought it was worth commentary, is that Sihle Zikalala in KwaZulu-Natal says, if you don't behave like we're a bunch of naughty school children, then we will go back into lockdown. And I'm like, well, please, fuck you. You know, we're really going to take you seriously, douchebag. But if this does happen, then bear in mind, Italy is normally quite a, you know, it's also kind of shambolic in some ways, but Italy is a reasonably law-abiding country. Clashes were reported in several major cities, including Turin, where Molotov cocktails were thrown at officers. In Milan, tear gas was used to disperse protesters, while violence was also reported in Naples. The demonstrations began soon after the national government's order to close restaurants, bars, gyms, and cinemas came into effect at 6 o'clock local time. Many regions have also imposed nighttime curfews, including Lombardy, where Milan is, and Piedmont, where Turin is. Protests broke out in a dozen other cities, including Rome and Palermo. Small businesses argue that they're still recovering from the first lockdown and that more restriction could bankrupt them. So please, South Africa, let's not be Karens if they say to us we're going to go back to stage three or whatever, which we have no reason to believe is going to happen. But if they do, let's not be Karens and go along with it and go, but, you know, stay safe, stay home. Let's do this for the old and vulnerable. No, if this happens again, we go township on these people. And by that, I mean the townships knew how to give the middle finger to the authorities. Let's just ignore them and carry on with our lives. We don't need this nonsense. We really don't. It is patently obvious to anyone who's looking at the numbers, I'm talking about the death rates, that COVID-19 is past its prime. It cannot possibly do more damage than it's already done. There will be a few deaths, but this is nothing to be frightened of, and we need to get on with our lives. And if the government or anyone else tries to restrict you the way that they have been, and if that fucking Nkosazana Zuma goes for one more extension on the state of disaster, then she needs to be removed from office violently, if possible.
Yeah, I do believe people's response would be different if they were to change things now. After, I don't think there's a person who hasn't been affected by the lockdown in some way, shape, or form. But it was funny, yesterday afternoon, I was doing some grocery shopping and then was also went to stock up on some liquor for my bar. And the cashier was running my liquor through and she says, "Is this all you're getting?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is enough, thanks." She goes, "I wouldn't if I were you." I go, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Haven't you heard? Oh yeah, they're going to lock us down again. So you need to stock up now." Like, this paranoia has already started with people.
Yeah. Well, we there's no reason we should listen to them. Sorry. None whatsoever. They've proven themselves to be totally out of touch with reality. And every decision they've made through this lockdown has been a bad one. So we don't need to repeat the hits. Having dropped tantalizing hints days ago about an exciting new discovery about the moon, the U.S. Space Agency has revealed conclusive evidence of water on our only natural satellite. The unambiguous detection of molecular water will boost NASA's hopes of establishing a lunar base. The aim is to sustain that base by tapping into the moon's natural resources. We don't know how much water there is there, but the amount of water in the soil that they managed to sample was about a 12-ounce bottle of water in a cubic meter of lunar soil. That's not bad.
It's a start.
Yeah. I didn't know they had water on the moon. This is very big. There have previously been signs of water on the lunar surface. These new discoveries suggest it's more abundant than anyone thought before. It gives us more options for potential water sources on the moon. That's good news. And they will, if they build a base on the moon, then they'll build it where the water is, obviously. That's interesting. Qatar, you know, the country of Qatar.
Qatar, correct.
They've been facing scrutiny after women were forcibly examined. Revelations that passengers flying through Doha were forced to endure vaginal inspections have upended Qatar's efforts to boost its reputation before the Gulf states host the World Cup in 2022. Experts say officers marched women off a Sydney-bound Qatar Airways flight earlier this month and forced them to undergo intimate examinations after a newborn baby was found abandoned in an airport bathroom.
Wow.
There's a lot going on here. So first of all, what kind of people will, what kind of a person abandons a baby in an airport bathroom? There's a lot that we need to figure out.
In the middle of the desert.
In the middle, yeah.
Qatar's so hot, they don't let you go outside in the airport. That's how hot it is there.
Yeah. So that's already something to be very concerned about. But then, of course, if you've got a bunch of, like, airport security people who are examining someone's vagina, I mean, that is just not on. Even if they have a reason to, that's not on. Anyway, so the incident sparked a diplomatic row between Australia and Qatar and comes as a setback for the gas-rich Emirates, which has worked extensively to grow its soft power. So, you know, objective achieved here, because these countries hate being embarrassed. And this sort of incident and a diplomatic row with Australia is really what they don't want. You know, they want to be taken seriously. They want to be thought of as modern countries that are not backward, camel jockeying, you know, desert dwelling simpletons. So it's embarrassing for them.
Let's see.
Thank you. It's embarrassing for them. So that, I think, objective achieved that we're reading that story this morning. And then finally this morning, Donald Trump has been boosted by the Supreme Court confirmation days from the U.S. election. That's right. Donald Trump's struggling re-election campaign received a boost on Monday with the confirmation of the latest Supreme Court nominee, that is Amy Coney Barrett, to the lifelong position in a 52-48 vote, capping a rapid and deeply contentious process that makes her the sixth conservative and third Trump appointee on the nine-member court.
Wait, but what's struggling about his campaign?
Well, yeah, they say he's struggling because the polls show that Biden is way ahead. But Biden, I've got to ask you this. If you've listened to Joe Biden at all in the last 3 or 4 months, he's got a number of catchphrases that when he starts saying these things, you need to know that he's losing it. You know, he's losing the debate, or he's losing the argument, or he's losing his temper. Come on, man. He says this, come on, man, the whole time. And he goes, here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is what he says at the beginning of almost every sentence where he's trying to dissuade you from talking about whatever you asked him about. So reporters, and by the way, the reporters have given this guy like the softest landing in the world. Not one reporter has asked Joe Biden a difficult question. They'll ask Trump all about COVID and, you know, complicated stuff. But they won't ask Biden any of this stuff. Come on, man. Here's the deal. That's all he says the whole time. If you took come on, man, and here's the deal out of his language, he would have nothing to say.
Oh,
what a disaster.
And he looks so dry.
He looks so dry. He looks like a zombie. Did you see that zombie video I posted on Instagram?
No.
No, go and take it.
Or how does he look?
Let me just play you the audio. It's hilarious. Hang on a second. It's really funny.
I just want to get something for his skin. And nothing fancy even. No. Not a serum. Not a nothing. I want to give him camphor. Hands, knees, and elbows.
Spot a zombie. Look for someone who has a corpse-like appearance, exhibits aggressive behavior, craves human flesh, and utters incoherent moans and groans.
I don't know.
With your help, we can prevent the zombie uprising.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So what I love about that is they go, do you know how to spot a zombie? And then they've got like pictures of Joe Biden looking like a corpse and all the rest of it. And at the end, you hear that it, actually the message is approved by the Trump campaign, which is so clever because it's, you know, again, it's a sense of humor that the other side just do not have. There's no humor on the other side. They are super, super serious about super, super boring stuff. So anyway, Amy Coney Barrett's on the court, and well done to her for getting past those hideous senators. She's a Catholic mother of seven. She's got an impeccable CV for the Supreme Court. And of course, the Democrats all stormed out, and they refused to even be there for the majority of the hearings because, you know, they're going to make an application for a form where they can fill out how hurt their feelings are.
Some of the questions that she got, and I really don't know.
There's a woman called Maisie Hirono, who's from Hawaii. She's a senator from Hawaii, right? I think Hawaii. Anyway, Maisie Hirono, who's really, really, she's ANC dumb. She says to this woman, who's a Catholic mother of seven, you know, who doesn't look like the kind of woman who's in any way, shape, or form a sex predator. She says, have you ever, you know, sexually abused anyone? She, with a straight face, she looks at Amy Coney Barrett, this woman in her probably 50s, and she goes, have you ever sexually abused someone? Like... on what grounds do you even ask that? I mean, there's no story. Like, you know, with Brett Kavanaugh, they concocted that whole story when they brought in that very unstable woman. What was her name? You know the woman I'm talking about, right?
Gail, who's Oprah's friend and stealing from her?
No, she's unstable, but for different reasons.
Oh, okay.
What was that woman's name? If you can remember, then just message it to me, because, Jesus, let me tell you. They brought that crazy woman in, and they tried to derail his confirmation into the Supreme Court. What a mess. So this woman, this Maisie Hirono, asks her legitimately. She goes, have you ever sexually abused someone? So Amy Coney Barrett kind of just goes, no. I don't know where she wanted that to go. It's like they were totally out of ammo. You know, the ammunition chest was empty.
Were there rumors of this? I mean, why would we go there? I mean,
there's no rumors. There was nothing. There was nothing at all. That just shows you she's totally disconnected. Maisie Hirono. What a fucking nutcase.
So I just want to say, red flag for me there. Why is she being presented as a Catholic mother of seven? For me,
she's a very religious woman. But not, you know, she also, she's been very clear that her religious feelings do not impact on her decision making.
Well, that's a lie, because we know that impacts on everything. So that's a no, so she's already a liar.
It's not a lie. If you're a judge, you know, Bulelo, you have a job on this show, right? Mm-hmm. I don't ask you whether your philosophical or religious leanings are going to impede your ability to do this job, do I?
No, but
no, because it's none of your business. It's private. Yeah. And you may be a mother of seven or a mother of none, but that has nothing to do with your ability to do your job. I think that there has to be this dotted line. And if she is, I mean, I was always worried about Mokgweng, because he's a devout Christian, right? He's the Chief Justice in this country. And I always thought, we're going to get to a point where something's going to come up where he, as a religious man, has to decide on the law. And he will bring his own personal religious feelings into this. But I think it is important for a professional to know what's private and what you keep for your own home and what may be guiding moral principles for you. And if you're applying just the letter of the law, and in the case of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the Constitution is the supreme law, then you apply the Constitution. It's got nothing to do with your own personal feelings. But they were trying to...
I wish I could go with you there. So recently I was the victim of a very, very brutal crime. The case is still going on. And I heard one of the most shocking things in a court.
Yeah.
Where the presiding judge, and our case is still continuing. There was an extremely violent situation. So she said, as a woman of God, I can only, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing there. So I wish I could go with you, but now having been on the sharp end of the law, and hearing that it can become pervasive, I always
no. Someone might have. Are we only going to appoint people who are secular as judges?
Mm. Because it should be a start.
Because 80% of this country are Christian.
Point taken.
So we're only going to appoint judges out of the 20% that remain.
Point taken.
See what I mean? So it gets complicated. You either accept people's religion. You say, whatever you believe, that's your business. And it may have an effect and it may have influence on the way that you vote, particularly when it comes to ethical and moral dilemmas. Mm. But by and large, your job is not to bring your religion to the court. By and large, your job is to apply the law, which is there in black and white for all to see.
Agreed.
So it doesn't, to me, it's not an impediment to her ability to be a good judge. And certainly her record shows that she has been a good judge on the Circuit Court of Appeals and so on. Anyway, so there we are. Carl says the new Supreme Court justice is actually quite attractive. I bet 20 years ago she was gorgeous. Is she the first ever attractive Supreme Court justice? I presume you mean women, first of all, because, look, you'd say what you want.
Of course,
but
it went there.
Carl.
Yeah, I just found it shitty that her kids sometimes had to be there, and then they'd ask her questions about the kids.
Yeah, she's got two adopted children that she adopted. Do you remember when they had that that huge hurricane in Haiti and the earthquakes?
The earthquake.
And they were all those families that were displaced and people were starving. And remember Sean Penn got in some raft and said he was going to go and save the people of Haiti.
Sean Penn is the second most insufferable person in the world, second to the girl. Who's the young lady who was the... What's the movie with the guy with the wand, the stick? What's his name?
Harry Potter. Yes.
What's the girl?
Hermione Granger, whatever.
So that lady, oh my God.
Yeah, she's insufferable.
I had the misfortune of hearing her speak at an event because my mother used to work for the UN and she is like...
UN... Isn't she a UN ambassador
she
or something?
She is insufferable. Yeah. Sean Penn, he's trying to get the gold medal.
He went and he helped people.
He's trying to get the gold medal.
Yeah, in his little raft. Anyway, so this Supreme Court justice and her husband, they adopted two kids from Haiti.
And then they would ask about race things. She's just raising her family, folks.
Yeah.
No, but you see, you got to be suspicious if someone's a conservative. Why are they
doing
that?
I've always wanted to ask you a question. I think here's a good point where she's now being thrust and all of these things are coming out in her life. mm-hmm. you've been at the sharp end of society coming at you, is do you think people that choose a public job deserve empathy? It's like, if you pick yeah. this job, expect this vitriol. Or what's your opinion on
no
that?
One deserve- wanted to know. Bulelo. No one deserves. No one I automatically.
Said I said expect. Okay, I didn't say deserve.
But let's be fair. Nobody automatically gets empathy or sympathy. Sure. If you're a person who engenders that in someone, then that's up to the person who decides to give it to you. You can't expect anything as a public figure. No. Jacob Zuma probably doesn't get a huge amount of empathy from people. But that's up to you and me. I can decide whether to be sympathetic to Jacob Zuma or not, and you can decide, and that's up to you. It's not up to Jacob Zuma. He doesn't get to say, you must, I'm going to leverage some sympathy out of you. Know what I mean?
I do, but as public figures, do you think once you become public, it's fair game, they're at you? Or
do
you think
it's up to the individuals who wish to throw that at you or not?
I wish more people would have your outlook. I had a. I'm not sure if I've told the story, but I had when I lived in the UK, I had an extremely an outstanding singer. She was a good friend of mine, and she passed. But she
Adele?
Said,
"Oh, she passed.
She passed. Yeah, Adele passed. Adele passed about 2/3 of her body weight, which is to her huge and enormous credit.
Oh, good gracious!
Enormous credit.
Enormous credit.
Huge credit.
Yeah. Massive. Massive. She's looking terrific. She really is looking great. I must tell you. I love the fact that all the fat fuckers are now angry with Adele. All the fat people are so angry with her because she's thin.
What do you mean by fat fuckers?
You know exactly what I mean.
But what is with that? Like, and she hasn't done like liposuction from what I understand. She's just she's diet and
right.
get on
that, she stopped,
on that grind.
She stopped eating. And now they're cross with her. They're cross with her because she stopped eating. So does she deserve sympathy and empathy?
Listen, you know who those people are that are angry? They're those friends at the party that now they don't get picked.
Right.
And they're going to ruin the night for everyone. That's
no,
who you are.
No, not for everyone. No.
If you're angry, that's who you are. Mm-hmm. Go and deal with your stuff at home. Adele, shout out to you. Don't like your music. 19, great album. The rest, not so much.
I've shared this before, and this is the only reason I'm upset. I prefer my great singers bigger. I don't like them slimmed down. Let's wait for her new album, then we'll make the verdict.
Yeah, but see, we know you're a monster. You've just told us that you pick your friends if they're ugly to you. So you're going to find it hard to be happy for Adele. Not that she's good.
Kotso says, my daughter's school is closed again because some learner got COVID. So glad I will be homeschooling her next year. Yeah, if I were a parent, I'd be thinking very seriously about homeschooling. And I've always thought that homeschooled kids are a bit weird. But I've met some recently and because some of my friends and people that I know are homeschooling their children and they're not weird at all. They're very normal kids.
But it's a lot of work. If
perhaps
someone,
work.
You know, like I know some families who perhaps it's like three families and they split the fee of a tutor or teacher.
Before the Industrial Revolution, which wasn't that long ago, through all of human history before the Industrial Revolution, 200 years ago, right? For only 200 years have schools been a thing. Before that, everyone was homeschooled.
Yeah, but back then, we didn't need somebody to explain the Higgs boson to children.
I get it, but the Higgs boson comes in at university level, and there you need the institutions. But
then also, we're now dealing with working parents and how much time can you sacrifice? And okay, then we have to get a tutor in or some sort of teacher role. And
you know what? I don't care. I don't have kids. I don't care. You want empathy? You've come to the wrong place. Your problem.
Yeah, right.
I don't give a shit. Your business. Right. Figure it out. You had the children. It's like Adele's fat friends who are cross. You've got the fat. That's your problem. You deal with that. Not my problem. Adele's like,
you've got the fat to see
Adele
through.
Adele is looking back and she's like, I'm not with you people anymore. I'm now with the hot people.
I'm so happy for you, Adele. Adele, you don't know who I am. You'll never hear this. I am so happy for Adele. Learn to be happy for people.
Yeah.
Let's just
I'm so happy for her.
Let's also not get too congratulatory just yet. She could start to yo-yo and whatnot.
Oh, don't put
let's
that just... on her, Sia. Don't put that. Okay. When we say that about Oprah, you get mad. Let's be happy.
No,
for her.
I'm very honest about my mother. You know, she sweats in front of a bucket of fried chicken. So let's just call a thing a thing.
Kate says, can we have daily story time with Mbulelo? He has lived and he has stories for days.
Hey,
yeah.
Don't you listen?
Don't worry. Some of his stories are so boring.
No, yeah, really? The problem is I'm boring. The stories are great. the deliverer of it. I'm boring, and I'm. That's the problem.
All right. When we come back, we got lots of good stuff for you. So stick around. CliffCentral.com. Also, Blind History Season 4, Episode 6. Simon Bolivar is the star of this episode of Blind History. That's on the way. Now, we were talking about Lenny Kravitz, so here's a Lenny Kravitz song to get your morning off to a good start. Don't you recognize it? No? Now you do. CliffCentral.com.